היי, ערב טוב וחנוכה שמח.
חנוכה שמח.
Because we are on Hanukkah, we will try also to talk about the parsha and connect it to Hanukkah. The truth is that that's the way it works anyway, because the parsha is talking about what's happening now, not what happened years ago. And it's not a story, it's just telling us how to behave. And there are a lot of interesting things in our parsha. We have, of course, the dreams of Pharaoh, and Joseph, he brings the solution, which is, by the way, amazing if you think about it. This guy was a slave 2 minutes ago, and the next minute he is the ruler of Egypt. And, you know, if you think about it, it's not normal. Who? Pharaoh. He doesn't even know this guy. And why does he believe him, that he got the right solution for the dream?
And especially being a Hebrew, and they hated him. They wouldn't even
nevertheless, what is the guy telling him? A slave boy that's sitting in the jail. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the guy who comes in front of him. And nevertheless, what was the problem? It says, V'paro cholem. V'yihi miket shnatayim yamim u'paro cholem. After 2 years, Pharaoh is dreaming. But cholem is written in present continuance, if you understand what I mean. Like, and one of the perushim is that he was dreaming for 2 years, but he wakes up in the morning and forgets the dream. Why 2 years? Because Yosef, in our last parsha, not you, yes? Yosef, in our last parsha, he said, Zachot is at twice, remember me, and tell Pharaoh that I'm here and I didn't do anything wrong, so Pharaoh will release me. So because he said twice that the Sarah Mashkim will tell Pharaoh when he gets out to remember to tell Pharaoh about him, this shows that he hasn't got enough trust in God. You know, his emuna is not high enough. And for Joseph, he got punished for every word of remember, he got 1 year. So Pharaoh, after 2 years, that's it, then he wakes up in the morning and, oh, what happened? I need a solution. So, also what they say, Vayimi Ketch Natayim Yamim, that that day was Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah is decide what's going to happen through the whole year, and Pharaoh is the king of Egypt, and that's why God reveals himself to him to tell him what's going to happen. The point is, when we look at all the wise people of Egypt, and yet they were very clever, till now the people are investigating and trying to find out certain secrets of what they used to do in those ancient times. And those clever people don't see this so simple solution, because we're talking here about cows, about wheat, fat cows, thin cows, eating. So what are you talking about? Food.
Famine.
Yes, that's what you're talking. It's very clear, right? So it's very simple. So if it's so simple, how can it be that those wise people don't see this? Strange. Then, Joseph is not only giving a solution for the dream, he also gives advice. This slave from the jail gives advice to the king of Egypt. And also, when Pharaoh is asked, I heard that you are a wise guy and you give solutions for dreams.
An interpreter of dreams.
Yes, yeah. Interpreter of dreams, yeah. So what is Joseph telling him? I?
No.
I do nothing. God is giving you the solution. And who is Pharaoh?
God.
He tells everybody he's God. And this slave comes out, and what is he telling him? You're not God. So what should Pharaoh do now? Cut his head off and that's it. And he's listening to him and believing him and nominating him to be the second
in
all of Egypt. This is one part of the parsha. Second part. The brothers, they come to Egypt, and one of the reasons that they come to Egypt, that they are going to find Joseph. They come to Egypt, they go through 10 gates. And then people arrest them and bring them to whom?
To Joseph.
To the ruler of Egypt.
Why?
Why? And he is investigating them.
He knew they were coming.
And blaming them that they are spies. Where did you see in the world that the king is dealing with spies? The king himself dealing with spies? And how did he get them? How did he know that they even got to Egypt?
He had his spies.
No, but what was the system?
He knew that they would come eventually.
Why? How did he know?
Because it's a famine.
But there's interesting, it's very interesting, and I won't say because I know you're going to bring it up. There wasn't a famine in Canaan, I read. There really wasn't any. I read that Yaakov.
Really? He didn't want people to talk about him, that he's not going there to ask because he had food. But yeah. There are a few opinions. There are a few opinions. If the first famine in Canaan wasn't, maybe a certain time, yes, a certain time, no. Whatever. But yes.
They weren't forced to come.
No. But their father asked them to go.
Yeah.
Why? He didn't want the people to say that they are sitting there and... Right. Like, what's happening? They didn't want to open. Always, you know, the Jews, when they've got it good, everybody looks at them.
Right.
So you don't want people to think that it's going very good.
Right.
Blessing is in what somebody you don't see.
Right.
But that's a different issue. The point here is.
He sent them. Why?
What's happening here? Now, how did get Joseph? You see, Joseph is telling you need a wise guy. To deal with all those things. One of the problems when you are when you give people food in rations, like you give them, let's say, 2 kilos of wheat, 4 kilos, how do you control it? Somebody can come and buy 2 times, 3 times. Somebody's got money, he's going to buy a lot and then sell it in the black market. So what did Joseph do?
He rationed.
Everybody who took anything had to bring it to that zoot. This I am, this one, okay. One. Now if it came twice, they were checking the list and look. Ah, 1 minute, you already got your part. You're not going to get any more. You got your ration, that's it. So this way he controlled the market also that people wouldn't take advantage if they have money and buy cheap and sell for a lot, which happens every time. But he had another intention. What was the other intention?
That they would come.
Joseph.
Yeah. He know that they come.
Because this way, if everybody is being written, so he will know exactly
who
they were, and this way he can spot his brothers.
Get,
because they were going in 10 different gates.
So wait. Start over again for just a moment, for me. You're saying that the interpretation of the dream was Joseph's way of fulfilling his wish that the brothers would come? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Yeah. No.
What I'm saying, he used the system because he was in charge.
Okay.
So he used the system not only to make sure that everybody's going to get his ration. He also made sure that he will have the power to follow up who is coming into Egypt. Because he knew that the dreams are true. And the dream that they are going to come to him and bow to him, it's going to happen. So he wanted to know when it's happening and to bring them to his palace. Which is very strange.
But that's his faith in God.
Hmm?
Again, it's his faith in Hashem that he knows, you know, that his brothers are going to come. It's his faith.
Yeah, because you know, he dreamed the dreams. And he knows it's going to come true. That's why, you see, Jethro, wherever he is, he is not, let's say, in depression or anything. We are being told that he is Mashish Matzliach. And whatever he does, God helps him and he makes him successful. Where? In the lowest places he was being. In the pit, God is with him. That's the Torah is writing us. And God is with whom? With somebody who is sad or happy?
Happy.
Only happy. God doesn't reveal himself to somebody who is sad. You have to be happy in order to be connected to God. So this guy, Joseph, is happy. Because he knows everything is for the best. The point is that what we want to know is that there are a lot of strange things in the parsha. Now, the simple dreams and all those wise people cannot bring a solution. Then the brothers, they see this guy and they don't recognize that it is their brother. So somebody, okay, he was a young guy when he left and now he's much older. But that's exactly the point. Joseph looks like
his father.
In other words, when they look at him, what should they see?
Their
father.
But he is also dressed like an Egyptian and without the beard. And
who said he's without a beard? He already cut his beard off?
No, it's written in the Torah.
Mm. Well, then
that he's without beard, yeah.
Where?
Where is this? When he left, they shaved him all over. He was shaved.
When he come from the
it's not the meaning that they shaved his beard. They cut his hair. Of course not. They cut his hair because he was.
But it's written.
Just said the shave.
No, that's what's written.
Didn't say where.
He doesn't say that he shaves his beard. Definitely not.
Daddy, something occurred to me. I will get
to the point and then we will have a discussion, whatever you want. Let's do things short. What I'm talking now is generally speaking. Why? Because we have to understand that when God's got a plan, the plan is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And another interesting thing is that, you see, for Pharaoh, for the solution of the dream, I tell you what the problem was with those wise people. You know, if let's say a physician will come to you and will ask you a question, and you will be sure that the question he's asking is very complicated, because he wouldn't ask you a simple question like, how much is 2 + 2? So on the spot, you will think about all those ideas. A lot of times in life, when we look for a solution, it's right in front of our eyes. But because we think it's complicated, we try to find the solution in a difficult way. For example, a very famous fact. When the Americans went to the space, they had a problem. Because the astronauts couldn't write with a pen, with a normal pen. Because when the gravitation is not there and you're upside down, the ink didn't go out. So they invested a lot of money and invented this special pen that writes in any position, which till today you can buy it on planes especially. It's a pen that writes in any conditions, upside down, whatever, however you want. Now, the Russian had the same problem, but they didn't have all those facilities, all the money that the American had. And they had to find a solution. What was their solution?
Pencil.
Yeah. A pencil writes in any position.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took a computer.
So smart.
A pencil is, and it's so simple, but you see, the Americans didn't think about a pencil because it's too simple.
No, because it could pay for something better.
Exactly. Right. And that's exactly the point. Sometimes in life we look for complications where they're not there. For example, in order to understand, it's what we call thinking out of the box. When you have a mistake in the Sefer Torah, we talked about it a few times. We have a mistake in the Sefer Torah. Who do you bring to check the mistake?
The young child.
Why? Not a sofer.
No, exactly. A young child.
A young child.
To read it.
To read.
I thought you meant to.
No, to read. Not to fix it. To read it. To see if it's right or wrong. You bring a young child. Why a young child? Why not a sofer? A sofer knows exactly what should be there. He can know if it's right or wrong. What does a kid know? But that's exactly the point. He comes with a clear mind. And if it's written Homer or Hamor, the kid will see it. But the sofer would not see it. Why? Because you see, God created us with a special mind. Our mind sometimes fulfills things that are not there because we know them. In other words, if you take a famous sentence, phrase, "Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha." You should honor your parents. And you will change the letters inside the sentence. You will see an amazing thing. Of course, without knowing with it. You will read, not what's written, what you think is written. In other words, even if Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha is not written right, you will read what? Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha. Because the mind looks at it and says, 1 minute, that's wrong. So it fulfills the gaps. And that's exactly what's going to happen if a sofer will come and he will see what should be there, not what's really there. But the kid doesn't know what should be there. And he's innocent, so he reads exactly what's there. And this is exactly the idea of sometimes in life, you need to clean your mind, you clean your head to see the right picture. Hanukkah. Hanukkah is all about this. We are looking around and we don't realize that everything around us is a big miracle. It's nature. What is nature? I talked about it this morning. We're lighting 8 candles, but the miracle was only 7 days. Not 8. The first day we had enough oil. So we should really celebrate
7 days,
not 8. So why do we celebrate 8 days? There are a few answers, but the answer I'm talking about is very simple. The first day is also a miracle. Everything is a miracle. That's our problem. That's why we put Alanisim in Modim. When we say Modim Anachnu L'cha, what do we say thank to God? Anisecha v'niflotecha shebechol yom imanu. The miracles and wonders that are every day with us. In other words, every day there are miracles happening. But do we see them? No. That's the first candle. Look and see the miracles around you. They're happening all the time. It's not only the 7 days. It's 8 days. All the nature is one big miracle. And you shouldn't. And it's so simple to see it if you just open your eyes. And that's why we put the candles between 30 centimeters and 10 centimeters. And 1 meter. That's the ideal place to put the candles. Why? You don't have to raise your head to look for it, and you don't have to lower your head. You just see it in front of your eyes. Al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. It's always with us. It's around us all the time. But we need the light of Hanukkah to see it. And that's exactly the point. When all those clever people look at us, at the dreams of Pharaoh, they say, Pharaoh cannot dream a simple dream like it. It cannot be so simple, the solution. Mm-hmm. It's too simple.
Yeah.
It's too simple to write with a pencil. We need a brilliant solution. But the real truth is that you can write with a pencil. Sorry?
Pharaoh would laugh at the explanation. It's too simple. He wouldn't trust him.
That's one of the questions. How does Pharaoh know that Joseph is giving him the right solution?
Obviously, he is affected him. The dreams affected him tremendously. And when his advisors gave him the what they thought was the thing, he still had this like a migraine carrying around in his head. And when Joseph gave him the thing, straight away cleared his head and he realized that he...
That's a very good explanation, but I must tell you the explanation is much simpler. Because it's written. You see, Pharaoh is dreaming how many dreams?
Two.
Wrong. One dream.
Same dream.
No, Joseph said it was the same dream. But you see, dreamt
what did the, what did the wise people say of Pharaoh?
Two dreams.
We talked about it in the past. Well,
mm-hmm.
What's happening here? Was it two dreams or one dream?
Yosef said that the two dreams are one dream. This is what he said.
So, what was really happening with Pharaoh? Did Pharaoh really went to sleep, woke up, went to sleep again, and dreamt another dream? Or he dreamt a dream in a dream? And a dream in a dream means that's a prophecy. It's 1/60 of a prophecy. If you dream in your dream that you wake up and go to sleep again and dream again, it means that God's trying to tell you something.
Mm.
If you wake up and then you go to sleep again and dream another dream, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. But Pharaoh is saying quite clearly, if you look at it, the Rav Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal, by the way, he shows the way to see it in written. If we look at it, we'll see it in a minute. Where is it? Okay. In Pasuk, the first Pasuk of the Parsha, Uparo Cholem, Pharaoh is dreaming, okay? Now he's telling the dream. And let's go. Parochole. The first thing is Pharaoh is dreaming. Okay. Then it's written Vaikatz Paro, like he wakes up, Vaishan, and goes to sleep, Vayachalom Shenit, and he dreams again. Another dream.
Yeah.
So now we see, what do we see? Two dreams. Okay, now let's go on. Pasuk, I cannot see, so Pasuk, what Pasuk is this? Chet, Pasuk 8. Vayikatz paro veine chalom. Now see, the beginning is paro cholem. And the end of all these two dreams is he doesn't say chalomot. He says ve'ine chalom. And Rashi says ve'ine nishlam chalom mal shalem. But what's written later on? He calls the chartumim. Vayesaper paro lahem et chalomo. How many dreams? One. Okay? What are they doing? Ve'en poter otam. What is otam?
Plural.
Yeah.
In other words, Pharaoh is telling him very clearly, the Torah tells, he's telling him his dream, not his dreams, singular, his dream. En poter otam, but they cannot find a solution for the dreams. So right away he understands, whatever they're going to tell me, they don't know what they're talking about. So what do I do? How do I check if this guy that is telling me will find a solution? I'll put a trap for him. So look what's happening when Joseph is coming. When Joseph is coming,
he told him that there was two dreams.
In a minute you'll see.
Two dreams.
Okay, he says like this. Vaydaver paro el Yosef. And Pharaoh talks to Joseph, and that is in Pasuk Yud Zayin, I think, in the, is it the next perek? No, the same perek.
Yep.
The same perek.
Mm-hmm.
Pasuk Yud Zayin, 17. Got it?
Yep.
Vaydaver paro el Yosef bechalomi, in my dream. So the title is My Dream. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm telling you my dream.
Yeah.
In the Neo Medal Svatayo, I'm standing on the Olior, and then, etc., etc., etc. And then, in Pasuk Kaf Bet 22, the end of the Pasuk, Vaikatz, like it looks like I woke up, Vaere Bachalomi. But it's not written that he went to sleep again.
Mm-mm.
You see what's written here?
Mm-hmm.
I woke. And in my dream, 1 minute, you woke and then you did, but you didn't go to sleep again? You understand what I'm saying? Let's look. So,
continuation.
Yeah, it's like he's telling the same dream.
Same thing.
And in his dream, he woke up. And then, the funny thing is, he doesn't even tell him that he woke up the second time. Va'omer al-Chartumim, he finishes the story of the dream, and then I told the Chartumim, not saying he woke up, ve'en magid li, and nobody could find
a solution.
And look what Joseph is telling him in Pasuk 25, Kafhel. Va'yomer Yosef el Paro, Chalom Paro
is one.
Echadu. Oh, now Pharaoh knows. This guy knows what happened.
It's the same.
He understands that it's the same dream, which the Chartumim
say they're not.
Could they saw, they say two dreams. So you see, it's written. We just have to read it right. Just very clearly written. That's why he realizes that Joseph's got the right solution.
What's Vayikatz?
Vayikatz, to wake up.
Ah,
but you see, the idea is
the name of the parasha.
Miketz is
not the same Shoresh.
No.
What is Miketz?
Miketz is from the Shoresh Ketz, from the Shoresh end.
End.
At the end Ketz. Of 2 years, Miketz, when they finish 2 years, finish.
And not.
But there is a connection. Shoresh. There's also, if there is same letters, there's always a connection. I'm not going to go into it. There is always a connection. You have to understand the Hebrew letters are holy letters. And if there is the same combination in different meanings, it must be a connection between the different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
You can try and find it out. Yeah. There must be a connection.
And the next chapter.
Yeah, but any word.
It's always that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So now we understood how Pharaoh knew that Joseph's got the right solution. We understood why the Chartumim couldn't find the right solution, because they were thinking about very complicated things and they couldn't see that it's very simple. And now look what Joseph is doing, because you have to understand and realize the Torah is telling us that Pharaoh liked the solution and also his slaves. Who cares? Who cares if the slaves like the solution? What the Torah is trying to tell us? There was this king who had a daughter, and his daughter got very ill. Deadly ill, what we call. And all the doctors couldn't cure her. So he didn't have any other options. It was either she dies, or maybe, who knows, somebody will do a magic or whatever. So he put an ad that everybody can come and try to heal the princess. Everybody, doesn't matter who he is. Now, there was this doctor that nobody wanted to know about for different reasons, doesn't he? And he heard what's happening. And from what he heard, he thought that the solution is very simple. But he says, no, I'm going to go. What do I have to lose? He comes to the palace and the king lets him see the princess. And he sees the solution is so simple that it's unbelievable. Like a few herbs that you have everywhere, you mix them together and the princess is going to be cured with no problem. The problem is, if he's going to say what he thinks,
you can't charge him much.
He doesn't ever know if he could finish the sentence. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Because it means, if this guy comes with a simple solution, makes that all those doctors, they're not doctors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were going to be standing in front of a shooting, and that's it, finished.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He says, "You see, the solution looks simple, but you need a very clever doctor to mix the things in the right portions." So now everybody likes it. Why? It means that they're not stupid, and he is very clever, but he tells everybody that you need an expert to do it. And that's exactly what Joseph is doing in our parsha. Joseph knows, if I'm going to tell them that this solution is so simple, I'm insulting them, which means that the next thing is that Pharaoh is going to kill them. And
they will try to kill him.
So what is he doing? He says, "Tzarich Adam Navon v'Chacham." You need a very wise and clever guy to handle things. So this way, all the Chartumim thought, "Oh, okay, we are saved. He's not going to kill us. We need a clever king. Maybe even he's going to choose one of us." Because who could even imagine that Pharaoh is going to put this guy from jail to be in charge. Okay, he gave a solution, but to put him in charge? But then the amazing thing happens. And Pharaoh decides, you are going to be my right hand. Nobody is going to move a leg or a hand without you telling him to do it.
Isn't it strange?
We're talking about a lot of strange things in our culture. And we're giving